Because generally, I've just learned if you just let God speak and let God do what he wants, he's going to take you. Well, when I was speaking, I realized God had already set everything up because that just tied right into today's message. I'm tickled. And if you didn't take what I challenged you last week seriously, I'm going to throw the challenge back at you again. Get to know Jesus. Now, I'm telling you, get to know Jesus, because you can read his word. Listen, I'm here to tell you, I don't believe God ever intended for the law to ever have to be. If he did, he would have given it to Adam, not Moses. And because of that, we say, well, this is what God said. Yeah, according to that, we now are in grace, which is what God has always wanted. And Jesus, that's why I challenge you, those words in red, read them, understand them, ask God to reveal himself to you in the words in red. And when you do, you'll begin to see. I can still remember when I actually got, I've always loved the song by Benny Hester, When God Ran. I mean, it's a 40-year-old song, folks. Almost 40 years ago. And it comes up on my playlist. And I'm just here to tell you, it's not a rock song. It's not a headbanger song, which is my typical go-to type music. It is so powerful. And they slip it in there, and I'm like, oh, man. I can't skip this one. Gotta listen to this when God ran. And when he talks about a father and a son and the relationship that was restored. If we cannot understand who Jesus was, see, we all want to know God, that's the point. Jesus and the Holy Spirit were sent to point us and lead us to God. Not to be worshipped themselves, but to point us to the Father. Because they are part of him. And Jesus was telling that story. He's the one that told the story about the prodigal son. Or the son that did prodigal living. And he's explaining to us how good of a father. Now you see, here's what religion has taught us. Your child has dishonored you. Disown them. Shy of trying to take my life, my children will never dishonor me that bad. That I would disown them. Well, you've disrespected the family name. Listen, they're not the first one. Let's be honest. I think it was Sarah and I were talking about this morning a little bit. You know, they were doing some genealogy, found some questionable individuals in their family tree. I said, oh, yeah. I said, and they're not that far back. But the truth of the matter is, God doesn't care. And I point this out in that passage of Scripture when Jesus is saying that the Father saw the Son. The first thing the Son had to do was repent. He had to repent of where he was at. He had to make up his mind, I'm going back to my Father. I'm not going to stay here any longer and eat pig slop. Now, my dog eats slop. Okay, some of you don't feed your dog from the table. I probably should never have started. He sits there. Go lay down. He won't go to his bed. He'll go over here and lay where he can look. And then, you know, if you have a lab of any kind, mix, whatever, you know what kind of tail they've got. It's a club. And all you got to do is glance over. And you can hear that tail bouncing on the hardwood floor. But our dog gets really good stuff. He gets the fat from the steaks and whatever. And our dog loves vegetables. He loves zucchini, cucumbers. I don't think celery he's a real big fan of, is he? Doesn't like lettuce. But if you soak it in something, he'll eat it. He's a dog. But these pigs, you need to understand, the slop they were getting was corn husks, corn cobs, garbage like that. It wasn't the good, you know, today our pigs are literally eating high on the hog. They have it made. Some of these hog farms, you look down and look at them and pay attention to it. They got grain. The dead are removed because they die. They're removed every day. They're taken care of. Pigs back then weren't. They were just kept in a corner where put you a couple pin in over here, and everybody brings their slop. And in the Longapo City down in the Philippines, they had pigs living in the alleyways on that same scenario. They just had a gate there, and there'd be a sow or a boar, and everybody in the neighborhood would bring their slop. So the pig was eating garbage, literally. And this is what that boy was eating. And he said, "My daddy's servants eat better than this." He said, "I'm going to go back and say, 'Father, I am not worthy to be called your son. Please make me as your servant.'" Because he'd already cashed out his inheritance, right? By the way, this isn't the message. And when he went back, his father had been watching for him. He had been looking. Because see, the love of a father or a parent is different than that of a sibling. You're always believing they'll come back. You never stop believing. And when he saw his son afar off, he knew the boy's stride. When we watched our boys play in sports, we knew their stride. There would be like times when Jesse, if he's on the sideline, we'd lose him. "Oh, where's Jesse at? Where's Jesse?" All we had to do was look for this. He always stood like this. I stand a lot like that. It takes pressure off of the other hip. But that's how we knew it was Jesse. And we looked at, oh, yep, that's his number. We knew him. And his father knew his son running to him. And he climbed down off the top of his house. Did you notice he's on top of his house looking, watching and waiting? And he took off running. And he grabbed his son. And he said, "My son is home. My boy has returned." And the son started, "Father, forgive me. I am not worthy." And right then, the father stopped him and ordered a robe, ordered the fatted calf to be killed, ordered a ring to be put back on his finger. He didn't listen because it was his son. That's a good father. Notice, he didn't go get his kid out of the pig slop. We have to get tired of that ourselves. We have to get tired of wallowing in our self-misery, in our pity. "Oh, I didn't know my mommy and daddy don't love me." See, that's what psychology teaches us today. "Mommy and daddy, they spanked my butt." Boo-hoo. You know, one of the things Jesse told us, was he still in boot camp? First letter home. It wasn't, "Hey, you know, this is this. It was, "Thank you for spanking me." Has anybody gotten that? "Thank you for spanking me." Because he was seeing the effects of what non-discipline happens. By the way, that's our current status of our military. All across the board. And it's a sad state. But that's what the Antichrist is trying to do, is destroy all that is good. So we have a good father. He's a good daddy. I guess it's just a prelude. So in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened." I know some of you have been around for a while. You say, "Pastor, I asked God for $100 million and I still don't have it." Are you tithing on the $100? "Well, I shouldn't have to." That's the only thing he ever said in the beginning that was his, was the first fruit. You do realize that the tree of life was the first fruit, and man took it. And so God established tithing. "He who seeks and finds it." Now, so we ask God, "God, I want a Bugatti." Now, you know what, God? It's not that God doesn't want me to have a Bugatti. But let's say I get a Bugatti. For those of you that have no idea, it's made by Volkswagen. Costs more to produce it than they can sell it for. And that's $3 million now. It's a 250-mile-an-hour plus car. The tires, those of you that, you know, anybody bought new tires lately? I dropped $1,000 this spring on my truck. And they're not the best, or not, they're not, they're good. They're not the great big tires. They're just road tires. Okay, I'm like, yeah, I ain't going off-roading in my truck anytime soon, so I ain't paying for to leave rubber on the asphalt. $1,000 for four stinking things that are only going to get me 60,000 miles. A Bugatti, they're $20,000 each. And you have to change the rims. So yeah, you need to be a billionaire or close to a billionaire to afford one. But if I go ask God, "God, I want, give me a Bugatti. I want a Bugatti. I think it would be fun to drive one once." But let's be honest. What road around here can I do 250 miles an hour on? I can't even do that on 71. I can't do it. So what good is a Bugatti going to do me? "Oh, Pastor, going to pull up in a Bugatti." Uh-huh. Right there. That's why God won't. Arrogance. Pride. "Look what I got. Where's your faith at, brother? Where's your Bugatti? See what God did for me?" Uh-uh. I'd rather trust God not to give me something that's going to destroy me. You know, I'm pro-gun. I'm pro-Second Amendment. I've taught my sons how to shoot. But I did not give my 3-year-old a gun. My boys were 13 before they got one. And that was only because I felt they were trustworthy. Now, I didn't go out and buy them Benelli shotguns, Beretta handguns, and all. Joshua got my first shotgun. Jesse got my second. And Justin got a unique one because I was out of first shotguns. And they were all single shots. They're not automatics. They're not anything. They're just a simple gun that have taken rabbits, pheasants, deer. They still did the thing, same thing. And one thing that I was taught was try to get one shot with one, or one shot, one kill. That's why I laugh when I'm in the woods hunting and I hear, "Boom, boom, 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 boom." Dude, you didn't stand a chance if you missed the first one. That deer can jump 30 feet just like that. So God didn't give me some of the stuff that I thought I had to have. "God, I want this." Understand something. You need to ask according to his will. You need to look. You need to be searching for what God wants. You will find. You know, U2 did this song, "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." Now, just so you know, they do profess Christ. I don't know anything about their lives. It's not my job to judge them. But it's the truth. Some people still haven't found what they're looking for because they quit talking to God. But if you knock on a door with God, it'll open. Sometimes you're to go in it, sometimes you're not. Well, God opened the door. Sometimes it's just so you can see the horror on the other side. Well, God, but I can see the grass is so much greener. Can anybody tell me one place in your yard where the grass is always green? Bingo. Grass is always greener over the septic tank. For a reason. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? There's nobody in here that I'm aware of that cruel. If your child comes up to you and says, "Daddy, I'm hungry," you're going to give them what they need, aren't you? If Maverick said, "Daddy, donut," Matt's going to do what he can do to give that kid something close to a donut if he ain't got one. Because that's what I would do if I had my son. And my grandson, and my granddaughter, it sometimes is kind of hard. Snack, snack, snack. But God's not going to give you something bad. If you're hungry, he will give you something that will appease that hunger. A rock will not do anything. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? God will not give you something that will destroy you. Just like I said, I want a Bugatti. I would like to drive a Bugatti. I don't want one. You know what I want? A four-wheel drive, four-door pickup truck. That's it. Well, it don't sound like you got high expectations of God. No, he needs to keep me in one. They rust out. They wear out. But the truth of the matter is, while I love exotic cars, I love sports cars. Always have. They do not fit my life. I know guys that treat their pickup trucks like they're Cadillacs. I remember when I first got my truck that I got now, and I had some gouges in the bed liner and stuff. You know, if you've been around long, you know I use my truck. I do not baby my truck. I have covered my truck in mud. I've had to fix my truck a few times. But I treat it as a truck because it's what I need. I've hauled firewood in my truck. I've hauled tractors with my truck. I've done lots of things with my truck. But these other guys that got bigger trucks, oh no, you don't put anything in the bed. You wash your feet before you get in my truck. Oh, for crying out loud. I even get free vacuum service and I don't use it all the time. But I take care of it. But I use it. So for God to give me a Bugatti don't make a truck. Mercedes does, but they're not worth it. I don't need six-wheel drive. I don't need 6 miles to the gallon. I like my 19 to 20. Especially right now. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, because God knows that if you're a good father, and actually at this point he said, you're evil. If you, being evil, know that it's still wrong to give your child a rock if he's hungry, or a snake instead of a fish, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God, I want this. Well, we know what we want. And we were talking about our family. What are we going to... Well, we thought, well, okay, we're going to believe for a boy and a girl. That's what we wanted, a boy and a girl. We had a boy. 5 years later, we had another boy. 5 years later, we had another boy. But on our second grandchild, we got a granddaughter. And now we have two daughters. And I'm just still trying to figure that out. I'm like, yeah, we never had girls in the house. So it's a change. And, you know, moms don't count. Y'all know that, right? She had to adjust to us, unfortunately. Would you guys go put some pants on? We got company coming over. God's not going to give you bad things to destroy you. And if you do find yourself with something that you thought you wanted and it destroys you, get rid of it. As I've told you before, yeah, my hand going to sleep on the motorcycle was a big issue. But that wasn't the root issue. It was destroying me. I found myself becoming somebody I didn't want to be. And if had I stayed and kept it, it would have won. And I wouldn't be here today. Not because I'd be splattered all over the road. So God showed me. He gave somebody a dream who misinterpreted the dream. I saw your motorcycle. It was all balled up and I saw your family crying. It's because it wasn't about me wrecking my bike. It was the thing was going to destroy my family. The enemy comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. So my motorcycle was evil. Absolutely not. But the attention I was getting was. So, got rid of it. Went and got me a Fred Sanford truck. 7 different colors. Therefore, whatever you want me, men, to do to you, do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and prophets. Again, this is something else Jesus said. This fulfills the law. We're trying to change things. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. We do not have to live according to the law. Again, go back and look at the law. The law dealt with how we were supposed to be treating each other and how we were supposed to be treating God. But you know what? That's not the law we get hold of. We get hold of the law that says, you need to cover your head when you're praying. You need to have tassels on your robe. You can't wear anything with a hole in it. I ain't gonna lie. That's kind of hard to do sometimes. And it's not because that they file holes in your pants at the stores now. It's because I snag stuff. Some of my shirts got stains on them that just will not come out. And I still wear them. Well, Pastor, that means that you're not focused on holiness and perfection. I don't want to be perfect. And I'm only holy because He is holy. Because my righteousness is like toilet paper that's been used. That's what He was talking about there. He wasn't talking about your dish rag. You can clean that. Do you really want to touch the other? You know what I think the worst job in Rome would have been? The guy who had to clean the sponge in the public bathrooms. They were nasty, weren't they, Joe? I know he looked up. I'm like, yeah, he knows what I'm talking about. The dude had to stand there. It's okay if you're the first one to get the sponge. I mean, when it's new. After that... Yeah, I'm going to the mountain. I know, Pastor, that's gross talk. You don't need to talk like that. Jesus did, so why can't I? He talked about poop. Now, he used the word dung. Yeah, it's just the word they translated it as, but it means poop. That's what our righteousness is like. So Jesus was saying, if we want to really fulfill the law, we need to do unto others as we'd have them do unto us, not as they did to us. Okay, we understand that's revenge, right? God said, let me have the vengeance. You know what happens when you get stuck on revenge? You can't ever be happy. What was the name of that show we watched for quite a while? And it was about, was it called Revenge? Or Vengeance? Revenge. I think it was called Revenge. And anyhow, the girl could not be happy until she extracted revenge on the family that did her father wrong. And I forget, I don't know if he was killed because of it or, but anyhow, they didn't know who she was, and she'd snuck into their life and started destroying their life from the inside out. And the truth of the matter is, she wasn't any happier. The more revenge she extracted, the less happy she became, because she was trying to fall in love with somebody else, but she couldn't because her revenge. And the same thing's true again. If you still have not seen The Count of Monte Cristo, the movie, watch it. In there, Mercedes is trying to talk him out of revenge. He says, don't take my hatred from me. That's what revenge is. It's hatred. Well, it's justice. It's justice by the powers that are in authority. I know it's difficult to walk it, but we have to let God have it. I want you to fulfill God's law, not live by it. Two totally different things. Because if that was the case, first off, you know, if we're going to get in the law, all of you should be wearing robes of sorts. Men should have their, beards. I mean, as scraggly as mine would look, an itch, it pulls my skin. Your haircuts, your jewelry. I don't want to live by the law. The law was lacking compassion because it's black and white, you know, just like the road signs. Black and white are the law. But officer, I was only X amount over. I know, but that's the law. If they let you off with a warning or they will let you slide a little bit over, it's because their compassion. But the law has no compassion. I love the show Blue Bloods. And I love watching how one Donnie Wahlberg's character interprets the law. Erin, his sister, is a district attorney. She interprets the law flat. It doesn't flinch. It doesn't move. But he's like, but what about this? Why? That's not justice. And so the people that are over here are trying to get the law to be a little more compassionate. But the people that are having to prosecute it, there's no compassion because they can't. Even though it tears their heart out. If you understand God, you'll know He's not about wanting to hurt you. He doesn't want to pay you back for the evil you did. But neither does He want you to continue to live in what did it. When you get saved, the first thing you should do is say, God, where do I need to start? I need to start getting rid of this. Well, then what are you saying? I need to bring in all Christian stuff? You need the Word of God, and I'm going to tell you right now, yes. I washed all secular music out of my life for quite some time. And then one day, God said, all right, now you've got yourself cleaned out. Not that the secular music in and of itself is evil. Some of it is. I'm just not going to mix words with that. But I can now say, nah, I don't need that. I don't need to listen to that. Skip. Oh, I like that song. You know, When the Children Cry by White Lion. It's an 80s group. That song talks about when our children grow up and they take over and they cry because they know what was. I got news for you, folks. They're crying. They're crying. Because gone is the generation in which you could walk down the street safely. I mean, crying out loud. How many murders have we had now in our county? Not just people dumping bodies in our county now. And it's all drug related. Why? I don't want to rock the boat. Don't come crying to me when the drugs come to your door. I find out you're dealing drugs, you're going upriver. That's why I've told people about DUIs. You want to drink? You drink. You get busted for a DUI? I have no compassion on that. I have family members who are paralyzed. I have friends whose backs were broken and their military careers were stopped because of somebody else driving. No, it's called love. If you are going, I never drank and drove. Never. So I've told you, I've drunk. I could barely walk, but I walked back to my barracks. And then had to walk back with my buddy to get the car. So by the time we got back, I was sober. But I never did it. Because I seen the people who have suffered for DUIs. Well, you need to have more compassion. That is compassion. Nobody put the keys back in your hand. Nobody told you had to go deal drugs. Nobody told you that you had to kill. Sometimes jail is a compassionate thing. Just like the priest down in New Orleans said, Katrina was God's mercy. It got people out of the slums. The church is focused way too long on sloppy grace and prosperity. Jesus didn't talk more about money than he did anything else. He talked about how to love each other. Period. How do I love my neighbor? Well, do unto them as I would want them to do unto me. My neighbor can't get out and mow their yard. You got a mower? Go mow it. And you don't have to tell everybody you did it. Sometimes people will see you do it. But that's okay. You really want to know God? You want to know Jesus? This is the second time we've read something in 2 weeks that said this fulfills the law and the prophets. All prophecy is fulfilled. Everything in the law. To include where, you know, they wore scripture in a little box above their head, above their forehead. They had tassels sewn into their garments. What did it do? The person took the thing off, forgot the word of God, and went and did what they wanted instead of having compassion and mercy on people. You just sound like you're just so mean. I mean, you would put somebody in to protect a life, you better believe it. That's why we have a security team here. Not because I believe in the Second Amendment, but because nobody's going to come through those doors and harm people in here. If they've already made up their mind that they're willing to cross that line, it's no longer on you. And I'll be the first one to try to stop them. I'll try. But that's because I love you guys. That's why. I wasn't always like that. Again, I didn't like people. You know, people hurt people. So who wants to get hurt? And I'd been hurt enough. I said, I'm done. And the funny thing was, I learned more about compassion in an organization that at first I was taught, kill them all and let God sort them out. But when I saw what the purpose really was of our military, the first thing they made me say, I will defend the Constitution and the people of this country. You know, Pat, back in 1989, I had no idea you existed. And when you took your oath, you didn't know I would exist. But yet we took the same oath for somebody else. And that is what God did. He said, I'll do it for Sherry. I'll do it for Harold. I'll do it for Dave and Michelle. You didn't even exist yet. And he did it. And he already knew the stupid things you were going to do. He already knew it. He knew the times that we would feel self-righteous. My stuff don't stink. That wasn't me. Yeah, he knew it. I'm going to wrap up with this little bit here, tidbit on the prodigal. Angela has shared with me, I think I even heard the guy talk about it a little bit, but I've heard it several times now, about how when the father and the son relationship, there was another boy involved. The father ran to him. The father forgot the hurt. The son, the older son, he didn't. He remembered it, right? He even went to his father and said, what is this? That little moron runs out and spends all of his money and you put a ring on him. You put shoes on his feet. You clean him up. You put a robe on him and you killed the fatted calf. You've never even given me a goat to share with my friends. And the father said, boy, everything that's here is yours. That was on you. So if you're not enjoying your life, that's on you. Quit being a hard nose. The kid thought that his father only enjoyed him because he worked hard. Now, I've worked with all three of my sons. And I like working with them. Especially after we got them a little older and they just worked. I mean, that was such an amazing time when the switch flipped. You know, it's not like, where did you sneak off to now? I enjoyed those times. But you know what I enjoy doing now? Sitting in a chair on the porch with an iced tea, talking to them. Now, here's the difference in the relationship. The father, son, the father didn't see all the garbage that the boy had done. He knew it, but he didn't bring it up. But the sibling, do you know what Pat did with all your money? He went out and had this and he did that. And I was here working. And yet you seem to love him more than you do me. The son couldn't forgive the brother. It's a different relationship. We're harder as siblings. We're harder on our other sibling. We expect more out of our siblings. The parent relationship is different. It's got more compassion. It forgives. Not saying that it didn't hurt. I have friends who put this on Facebook about the worst hurt you can get is from your child. And I could expect that. But you need to forgive. And I tend to think that if you forgive more, you will experience less of the hurt. Because they're not going to want to hurt. Keep in mind, our children will be who we are. Amplified. So, when we look at our brothers and our sisters, and you know they come back in, oh, where have you been? You've been out gallivanting all over the country, living it up, and sinning like crazy. You need to come back to Jesus. You need to repent for 6 weeks before we'll accept you. I don't know. The father threw the party that night. Kill that cow now. Obviously, it was going to be a few more hours, but they wanted that thing cooked. But he started the party when he came back because he's a good father. And he knows how to do good things if we will repent. Notice, the prodigal repented back there. And he walked away. And honestly, it's not too hard to walk away from a pig pen. How many of you, you've seen the Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl? Now, I don't care what your philosophy and theology on it, I love them. I mean, yeah, they're goofy. It's a story. Okay? Just a story. But remember when Mr. Hobbs, when they find Mr., is it the Curse of the Black Pearl or is it the second one? It's the one where they find Mr. Hobbs in the pig pen. That's the first one. Okay. It's like, man, they keep coming out with these things. I'm getting the storylines crossed. Remember, he's in the pig pen sleeping on a pig. Now, those of you that have been around pigs, all you got to do is touch them. And you can't get that smell off of you. You're like, ah, all I did was pet it. Ah. Now imagine being immersed and soaked in the ammonia of their waste. I can think of that because I've been in these hog barns. And I can smell him through the TV. I'm like, I know what he smells like. And death might be a good thing compared to what he smells like right now, on top of his own stench. And then I love Will's, throws another puck. I'm awake! No, that was because you stink. That's what this boy would have smelled like, folks. He smelled like a nasty pig. Not one of these pampered show pigs that have gotten all cleaned up and pressure washed and it's sleeping on, you know, nice bed of clean shavings or straw. It was in the pig pen. And what makes the mud is not always water. No. And it takes a long time to get that out of you. When I worked construction, I did work for Farmer Boy, and I would remodel. I was one of the only guys in the state of Ohio that would go back into a barn that was occupied. And they had no problem paying my bill, whatever it was. Nobody ever questioned. I was like, man, looking back, I was undercharging. But I remember when I had stopped working for them, it was, 3 years later, and I could turn on my brand new Milwaukee saw, and when I turned it on, the windings still smelled like hog. I didn't dip my saw in hog manure. It was just inside the barn. Didn't touch a pig. Didn't touch manure. But yet, it absorbed it, and it took, I think by the time it was all said and done, it was about 7 years before that smell left that saw. And I was not throwing that saw away. It was $140. And I was like, I'm not. That's a good saw. That's an expensive saw. Because I always basically, okay, I have to work this many hours to pay for that. So I was like, I ain't throwing it away. I still got that saw. And it finally doesn't stink. But I'm here to tell you, folks, sometimes sin does that to us. It gets on us, and we just got to get it out of it. But you know how you get the stench of sin off of you? You get out of the situation and stay out of it. I didn't keep taking my saw back, because every time I took it back, it picked up the smell again. But understand this. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. That father still wrapped his son up, dried pig poop on him, and probably even the stuff in his hair. I'm painting you a good picture, aren't I? I hope you're not hungry anymore. But the goodness of God is that he still loves us, even though there may still be a stench on us. All right, let's stand. Just keep praying for your brothers and sisters in here. This is where I'm asking you to pray. I mean, you got friends and people you can pray for outside when you get word. But I want you to be praying for people in here. Because as I've talked about some of the stupid things that are happening in people's lives, I mean, they're just purity. Sometimes they're just dumb. Like, seriously? That happened? You know, like a gear going down your throat. What on earth? Who ever heard of a dental drill coming apart and parts going down a man's throat? The body of Christ is under such attack. The devil is using stupid things. He's not stupid. He knows how to get to us. That's the first thing you need to understand. He knows you, but the problem is you don't know him. I need to know the enemy? Now you're at the first step of warfare. Know where he's going to attack. That's why you need to seek and know yourself. Where am I weak? And then that's where you fortify. You protect. But the first thing you need to do is get to start knowing who your God is. He said he's the Lord of hosts. I believe we're probably going to be preaching on some of these things coming down the road. I mean, he's the master of the armies. Do not just think God wants to just walk away from you just because things are happening in your life. He's going to go after your children. You want to get my dander up? Go after my kids. That gets my, as I told somebody yesterday, I said, that makes those hairs that you shaved on the back of your neck that are just little tiny things, that makes them things stand straight up. Go after my kids. Go after my brothers and sisters. Go after my family. You make me mad. See, you're allowed to be mad. Oh, I just need to be all peace, you know. Listen, unless you're on an LSD trip, you're never going to really have that. The Bible says to be angry and sin not. You go after my kids, you found the fight inside of me. Well, they said this about Christ. Tell me something they ain't been saying. They were saying this stuff about God in the synagogues. But be praying. Davidsons are out with a sickness. I mean, I know several people that are dealing with stuff like that right now. Devil's attacking people's relationships. Guilt. Listen, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. If you're being guilted by somebody, you need to first off stop and look back at the situation. This person, I had to say, listen, you owe that person absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Do not give in to the guilt. You do what you're supposed to do. That person is covered. And we just need to do that. So be praying. Be praying for people around you. And listen, Matt, and tell Jason, I'm praying that you guys get on a normal schedule. I miss you guys. Well, I'm still believing you're going to get a better. I miss you guys. I do. Don't think for 1 minute, well, you don't call me during the week. I don't call my own parents during the week. Well, I do a lot more now because I'm trying to sell their house. But understand this. I'm praying for you. When I saw Jason's car, and that's why I prayed. God just said, pray. So I started praying. I said, Lord God, I expect for a normal work schedule so these guys can be back with their families in church. I asked. It's a start. It's a start. Because God's a good God. Amen. All right. Well, let's pray and I'll let you... My book stuck to the top. All right. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, through the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Messiah, our Deliverer. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this body. I thank you for each and every person, how they're growing, Lord. I know they may not feel like they're growing in leaps and bounds, but Father, it takes a little bit of time to get that good base in. It takes a lot of work to get a good base. But when the storms come, Father, we know the base doesn't move. That things up top may happen, but that can be rebuilt easily. So, Father, I thank you for what you're doing, how you're teaching us how about who you are. Now, Father, I thank you that you're moving on Missy and Lexi. Lord, I thank you, Father, you're touching their bodies. You're healing them. You're giving them strength. You're causing this nastiness to dry up in the name of Jesus. And speak life and health to their bodies, Lord. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord, I bless them. I do love them, Father, and you know that. So, Father, I pray that you do bless them. Lord, bless our teachers. Father, I thank you for moving on them as they're spending time with our little ones. And they're trying to help them understand who you are. And Father, I bless your people today. Lord, may they know who you are every step of the way, Father. Even when the step isn't there, but that they will know that you will provide that step because you ordered it. In Jesus' name, amen.